For many, this is the most familiar part of this story. Only the Gospel of Matthew records that story. Peter walking on the water. Only Matthew. Mark omits it. John omits it. So two-thirds of the gospel writers don't think it's significant enough to include in their telling. Here in Matthew, Peter spoke up and addressed this still unrecognizable ghostly figure. Peter doesn't want this ghostly figure to get anywhere near the boat. So Peter challenged this apparition, demanding proof that he is who he says he is. Lord, he says, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. This was Peter's doubting Thomas moment. It wasn't faith that compelled Peter to climb over the edge of the boat and stick his feet into the water. It was his conviction that this ghastly, ghostly figure would be unable to help Peter from getting all wet. So to protect the other disciples, he stiff-armed the ghost and demanded proof. Let me walk on the water if you are like you say you are. So let's be clear. Peter's leap was not a leap of faith, but it was a leap of bravado, a leap of pride, a leap of doubt. Many devout scholars define this episode in the following way. They see it as a living, acted parable of Peter's life in four parts. First of all, pride. Let me take charge of the situation. Then, the fall, where he takes his eyes off Jesus because he had tried to do this of his own accord. Then the rescue by Jesus, and then the restoration of Peter from death to life. Propelled by fear, Peter quickly took his eyes off of Jesus and sinks. He cried out in desperation, Lord, save me. And Jesus, and don't forget this, Jesus reached down and lifted him up to safety. And Jesus summarizes this the following way. You of little faith, why do you doubt? In this story, the disciples are stuck in the storm. They are stuck in a wind and wave-battered boat in the middle of a storm during the night. They are trapped by fears. They are trapped by dreads. And the focus of this story is not on what we often think. If you want to walk on water, you got to get out of the boat. That's not what this story is about. The focus of this story is on one thing. What do? We. When our boat gets stuck in the storm of life. What do? When our boat gets stuck in the storm of life. And there are two solutions that this passage offers. Number one. You stay true to the mission God has given. You stay true to the mission that God has given. If Jesus sends us on a mission and he tells us that he'll be there ahead of us, trust him, even through the storm. No matter what storms come, and they will, stay faithful to our mission. don't grow weary in well-doing. Stay the course. Jesus will keep his word, and the storm clouds will eventually vanish. You know, our mission statement is everyone gathering, everyone growing, and everyone going. When the storms are raging, stay on mission. Don't vary off course. Don't let mutiny happen on board. Stay on course. And our course is for the transformation of the world through the power of the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, invite Jesus to get into the boat. Now, the first depiction of the church in Christian art that we have in the second and third centuries is a picture of people in a boat with Jesus at the helm. When the waves are crashing against us, when the storm is raging, don't get cynical. Don't just hunker down. Don't simply hide out. Don't abandon ship. Don't go out on your own. Stay in the boat with Jesus. Don't lash out. We can only move forward if we do one thing: not get out of the boat like Peter, but instead we must invite Jesus into the boat. When Jesus climbed into the boat, the storm died down. Worship began. The disciples and Jesus together made headway. They sailed to Gennesaret, and there they continued their mission together. You see, Matthew, Mark, and John, who record this story, are in agreement in where to end the story, and it's this: with Jesus in the boat, you're no longer stuck in the storm. With Jesus in the boat, you're no longer stuck in the storm. You get to where you're going. We need Jesus, don't we? We need Jesus, don't we? In the case of our crisis with North Korea, there are real issues to consider. A real threat to our country that we must pray for wise leadership at the helm. There's also the tedious issue of what is a healthy nationalism and what is an unhealthy nationalism. A foreign missionary met with our family recently to discuss his time in a Muslim-dominated country. It's a country that most of us would fear to live in, but he has found a home. I said, "What can we learn from you, sir?" And he told a story. He said, years ago, at a prominent evangelical church, a noted missionary was to speak. They limited him to 1 minute. And he got up and said this. It was the time of the Iranian hostage crisis during the tenure of President Carter. He began this way: "How many of you are praying for President Carter? How many of you are praying for those who are held hostage against their will in Iran?" Hands went up everywhere. And then he said this, how many of you are praying for Iran and their leaders and the millions that could lose their lives if we go to war? And if we believe this, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, they will be consigned to eternity in hell, separated from God. How many of you are praying for Iran? Hardly a hand went up. And then he said this, I guess America is more important than God. In this international conflict, there are concerns about nuclear warfare and massive deaths. I tell you, the church needs to be the church and to stay on mission, and we need to invite Jesus into the boat and quit bickering among each other, shouting at one another, acting like we've never been through conflict before. We need Jesus. And in the case of Charlottesville, Virginia, a white Christian supremacist group converged there to rally, and they got what they want: national media attention and counter-protest. Some of the protesters were trained in peaceful nonviolence, and others were there to confront the protesters. And you heard the story, tensions ratcheted up, an assault vehicle rammed into the crowd, and at present, counting those on the helicopter, 3 are dead and 34 injured in America. There are issues worth dialoguing about. The removal of a prominent Confederate memorial. This inspires volatile conversation. We need civility. We need integrity of conversation. We don't need a shouting match. But I'm at an impasse because we are in a culture of shouters. Violence must cease. White supremacy is wrong. Racism is wrong. Hate is wrong. Our Christian faith must be a powerful force for human equality, for compassion, for justice, for love, and for belief in the sacredness of human life. EFBC, let's stay in the boat. Let's stay on mission. And let's boldly and humbly lead the way toward reconciliation. Let me share with you a story of what a difference maker can do. Our Joe Leslie passed away yesterday. His place of business became his pulpit. He provided a kitchen table for all of Pickens County. You mattered, and so did your family. He knew you by name, not by your color, not by your orientation, not by the size of your pocketbook. You were a person made in the image of God, created in the image of God, worthy of love and respect. He knew you by name. As you know, he battled stage 4 cancer. And as that battle became imminent and known, as it surfaced in his life, he and I shared in a very private conversation one day, and here's what he told me. I don't have any doubts. I know where I am going. I know that Jesus has me. in the morning when I arise. In the morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, and that day will come, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, join me. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. You can have all this world. But I want one thing. Give me Jesus. All right now. We need to see Jesus coming in the night. And we need to invite him into the boat. Because we can't do this on our own. And if we try, we will make a fool of ourselves and we will hurt our cause. Just give us Jesus. Almighty God, in the strong and holy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I will not prolong this invitation, but I know there are people who have made decisions from Christ that need to make it public. I want you to come when the invitation begins. There are those who are feeling the call of God upon their life to be on mission. You're feeling a renewal in your soul and in your heart. Make your decision public. Or perhaps you're so overwhelmed by what we face today that you need to come to this altar and give it all to Jesus. Will you come? Without hesitation, our hymn of invitation is hymn number 648. David and I will be down front. Let's stand, let's sing, let Jesus be Lord of this invitation. Let's stand.
Please be seated. Evan Massey, would you please come? And Suzanne and Mark and Ella Jane, would you come? This is Evan Massey. You know him. You've taught him in music and in missions and in growth group. You've given him the high fives. You've encouraged him all throughout his life. His parents so active in our church, and especially during this interim time in our children's ministry, and now to see your son come during this time. Is there a motion that we accept his request to become a member of our church? Is there a second? All of you who will commit to pray for Evan and Ella Jane and Mark and Suzanne, would you express your love and your blessing by standing and saying, "We love you, Evan." Have you ever heard that many people say that at one time? And Evan, this is your church family talking to you. They're in the boat with you. They're in the boat with you. Choir, the balcony, the main floor here. I'm going to look forward to watching you become that man of God that he intended. And Ella Jane, I'm so proud of you. And I look forward to that day when you will make that decision. She's funky, isn't she? Oh, we have so much to give God thanks for. I want you, at the conclusion of worship, to come to the narthex and to say a word of blessing. Speak words of love and encouragement to this young man. That's what blessing means. And before we go, I wanted to bring you up to date. As you know, Joe Leslie passed away yesterday. The funeral is tomorrow at 3 p.m. here in the sanctuary. The viewing and the receiving of friends will be from 1 to 2:45 in the narthex. The viewing will be in the music suite. So you may enter by the door closest to the music suite, come through the music suite to the narthex, and then into the sanctuary. Receiving of friends from 1 to 2:45, 3 o'clock, the service. In addition, Anne Marie Parrott's father passed away yesterday. These two passed away about an hour apart. His name was Manly Bright, and they will be making plans today for the funeral. He was an active member of First Baptist Greer, and the receiving of friends and services will be there. As we depart, not only greet Evan, but take time to write in the Bibles of our children words of blessing, words of hope, words of encouragement. They'll read that over and over again as they grow up. And then next week, see below in the bulletin, we've got details about our High Falls Park event. The choir will be leading us. We have a baptism, Lord's Supper, hamburgers and hot dogs galore. Plan now to be a part of that. Barry, I want to thank you for filling in on short notice. For Rick was with the family at Robinson's. They met at 10 o'clock this morning. And I thank you on short notice, sir, for taking the initiative and for being willing to serve. Well, let's bow our heads now and pray. Evan, would you go with me? Let's go, buddy. And Mom and Dad and sister, let's go. Dear Jesus, we thank you for such a powerful story that at times, Lord, is hard to hear. We know we have a mission, and we know we have a Lord whom we need to invite into the boat to lead us on that mission. May we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.